Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Back to pass, drop the football, and he's sacked by Dorian Williams at the 10-yard line.
Here's the snap, handoff to Cook, coming to the left side, darts through a hole, 40, 35, 30, and there he goes. They're not going to get him. James Cook is going 46 yards for the touchdown. Back to pass, pocket collapsing, and Oliver's got him for a sack. Ride him, Cowboy. Throws down the right sideline, looking for Cooper. What a catch by Amari Super Cooper. With a leaping 30-yard touchdown reception.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Football Friday. Our last Football Friday of the regular season.
Yes.
Wrapping it all up. Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. By Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
It's been a fun run of them.
Yeah.
It was a good regular season.
Yeah, great.
Great, kind of stress-free. Maybe the most stress-free.
I mean, it's up there.
The one seed chase was always there, but like...
The most stress was early in the year, the first month, second month. I mean, Houston and Baltimore was
when
it felt like things might go sideways. Yeah, but other than that, it's, you know.
That's not bad, though, if, you know, peak levels of stress was like a two-week gap and that's it.
Yeah. Well, it's about to get more stressful, but, you know, for the regular season, yeah. So, yeah, Football Friday. We'll talk to Sal. We'll talk with Chris Brown. Big show coming up today. Josh is here, our producer Josh, who watched Holiday Touchdown.
Ooh.
And he's eager to talk about this thing. He lost the bet with us. And he had to watch Holiday Touchdown, and we're going to get the full review. So that'll come. You're excited to give that to us, I can tell.
It was he must an be experience. Excited because it's like, bad.
I have notes.
Yeah,
plenty of notes. It was quite the performance.
We'll wait for more people to wake up so they can get that full review of the Chiefs Holiday Christmas whatever movie. So, yeah, that's that. Meanwhile, quickly on the Sabres. Just very quickly. They lost that game last night?
Yeah.
I went to bed, and half the reason I went to bed was it's kind of an offshoot of, you know, the people that wanted the Bills to lose to the Chiefs in the regular season so they would beat them in the postseason because the same thing can't happen 100 times. You figure, like, one of these times it's going to be different, so... That was me last night thinking, I already watched the Sabres blow a 4-0 lead to the Avalanche. They're not going to lose this team again. 3-0, I thought, they're going to lock this thing up so hard that you could bet the under right now as three and a half. This game is over. They're going to put this game into the dirt and just good night. And then I saw, I got a little closer, and 4-3, and there's me looking at 4-3 and saying, like, but they're going to finish the job. And I went to bed. And then I woke up to 6-5. They lost.
At 4-3, them finishing the job after being up 3-0
still
should be a...
still.
That's on you.
No, I thought...
Holy cow.
There's just no way. They're not going to do it again.
Did you see the fourth goal, by the way?
No.
The fourth goal, Zach Benson gets thrown into the Avalanche goalie. He is laying on the ice injured, and Benson just wraparound goal. And then actually...
They tried to fight him.
Yeah, and they got down, and they went down on a 5-on-3 because of it. I don't know if that lined up perfectly. And then, of course, that's one of the Avalanche goals that goes in last night.
An avalanche of goals.
Yeah.
Whenever they play the Avalanche.
I watched the extended highlights, so I don't know exact context on this, but looking at the numbers and also that, maybe, though, it was different than the last time they did this against Colorado, because they only gave up 11 shots in the third period plus overtime, and 5 goals went in.
Yeah.
So to me, that sounds like the goalie just blew it for you last night. Maybe there's more context needed than that, but the numbers look like the goalie just like
melted.
Melted down. Which has happened a few times this year. Like, he has been very rocky. He's had some great performances. He's had some very bad ones, and the stats show out that he's very inconsistent this season. So that's one of those reasons why last night, I think.
Natural Stat Trick puts the expected goals for this game at 2.4 to 2.1.
Okay.
Edge Avs. So both goalies might have
that's,
been
that's really bad.
That's all situations. It's not just 5-on-5.
Okay. Yeah, so. But still, more than 3 goals allowed above expectation?
Each. Pretty much.
Each.
Anyway.
Well, maybe Jason Zucker will sign. And Byram. That's the one.
Byram.
I am very, it's hard for me to believe that someone that has been in the building with a Stanley Cup standard and has won the cup, is spending time in this operation and being like, oh yeah, I'm ready to sign for 7 more years of this.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Byram had a nice goal. Was it the sweetest revenge goal ever scored?
It was pretty sweet.
It was pretty nice.
Jumping down on the rush.
Yeah.
I think maybe Makar took him over as the game went on, but when he scored that goal, he went into first place amongst all defensemen in the NHL in 5-on-5 points.
You know, as you say that, Owen Power was also right near the top of that list.
He is being a little cute with wording there. Byram's number one in 5-on-5. Power's higher in even strength because I think he has some points at 4-on-4 and 3-on-3.
Gotcha, okay.
So maybe the 5-on-5 number is actually more impressive for Byram.
It's enough to make you wonder, how could they possibly have that many good defensemen and still be this bad? How could you have Dahlin and Power and now a Byram as part of it, playing as well as he's playing, and still be bad? How? This bad, too.
Well.
I know. You don't have a second-line center. Your goaltending's inconsistent.
Yeah,
your depth is not great.
I bet the first answer most would get to is, well, are they good at defense? Which I would want to say, I bet they're better than you think they are at defense. And to me, you know, they can be lacking a little bit defensively if, when they're on the ice, they have the puck. You know?
Yep.
It's how Erik Karlsson has got the results he has over his career. He's not great in his own end. Okay, well, he's never in his own end, so who cares? I think more so my reason would be, though, I think their forwards are terrible.
Yep.
Mostly. I think their group of forwards as a whole. Beck Malenstein, I'm watching that the Kane goal last night. He's supposed to be what here? They traded a second-round pick for him to be gritty, responsible, two-way, physical forward, and he's just sitting there on the game-tying goal, feet not moving, leaving Drouin open in the slot. Bam. Game-tying goal. Oh, cool. Yeah. That was the guy that was supposed to be good at that. Like, just, and that's not nearly the biggest problem.
No, that's right. That's right. The biggest problems are that they have lost the development of some of their young forwards.
Yeah.
Like Peterka and Quinn.
Like, they need Zucker to be
one
of their best forwards, which is great that he's been able to do it, but that should have been a bonus, right? Zucker being this player should have been a bonus to this team, not required. And they can't even win when he puts up a 4-point night. Again, maybe the goalie, though, was at fault last night.
Well,
day five,
onward.
Day 5,000 of the drought.
I saw you tweet that. 5,000 days.
5,000 days. Well, now 5,001. Pretty fitting way to celebrate 5,000 days, I must say.
5,000 days. They all blend together. I was thinking about this for the Bills. One reason that I want Josh Allen to win MVP this year, not to bring up the MVP conversation too early, is that this year would then stand out. Right now, we kind of are in a little bit of a spot where when you talk about regular seasons gone by, it's a bit of a blur. There's five straight division titles. Which year was that? The year Diggs showed up. That's the COVID year. And then 21, 22, 23. They all blend together because they either win 11 or 14 games. And they, you know, the playoffs are defined by the playoffs. But this would be, Josh's MVP year. 2024 would just be easily, it would kind of be singled out as that, as a way to remember this year, the transition year, whatever it was. So.
Well, we might start labeling them also by who they would lose to in the playoffs.
That's right.
Hey, there's the Bengals year.
Well,
you know right now what I meant if I said the Bengals year?
Yes, that's the Hamlin year.
And if this year they lose to the Ravens and I say the Ravens year, we'll know what that means.
Yep. Now do the other one.
Well, that one would.
That'd be tough. Lose to the Chiefs. It's kind of tough to talk about the Chiefs year.
Yeah, we might have to label those. There's the 13 seconds
year.
There's the AFC Championship year. There's the 13 seconds year. And then I don't know what you want to do with last year.
Right.
The AJ Klein year.
I'm not prepared for a fourth loss to the Chiefs where we have to start talking about that. But anyway, it has been a great regular season for the Bills. Great. Right? No dispute. Great regular season.
Compare them to all the others. Last year came right down to the wire. They're playing from behind. They need a 5-game win streak at the end. Like, we thought they were going to miss the playoffs. There were times where the New York Times playoff machine, you pull it up and they'd be what?
20%.
20% to make the playoffs. The year prior is what? That's Miami still pushing you, right? Like near the end?
Yeah, but the year before they won it earlier than any other team, or the biggest gap to any other team. They didn't win it by 3 games.
Okay, but at least there was a December Dolphins game where like it was still live.
Yep.
Maybe that's when they clinched. Actually, that might be right. The Bass short field goal in the snow, that might have clinched it. And then the year before that is New England pushing you to the end, right? Like it's really, I guess, about the division. Like, a lot of the regular season is about the division and how much of a fight are others putting up. The Patriots were in the lead in December, and the Bills needed to win, like, a Week 16, Week 15 game in Foxborough to get it back. So, this year, in comparison, like, it's just kind of stress-free. They look good. They're winning almost all their games since what, September? Mid-October? Nobody has put up a fight. The chief thing even wasn't as stressful because you're never playing from ahead on that front. If they were ahead of Kansas City all year and it was they're nipping at your heels, they're getting lucky, they're getting wins, you can't mess up, that one might be different than you've kind of been 2 games back the whole time. Like the one seed never felt likely enough for anyone, I feel like, to be super stressed about it. It was just kind of there as something to have meaning at all. But they never they pull within a game for like 2 weeks.
Yep.
But that was it.
They gave the Chiefs their first loss when the Bills had two, and we were happy that, okay, well, now it's interesting, because if the Chiefs had won that game, they would have had a 3-game lead.
And it would have been over.
Yes. Instead, the Bills win, and then soon after lose to the Rams and make it a 2-game gap again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the race was a race to keep them honest, and here we are. The Bills are the 2 seed, a spot they've been multiple times. That's the other thing about this. You know, you could say the Cincinnati year or the Kansas City, the 13 seconds year. Right now, they're all the 2 seed year.
Yeah.
All of them, right?
Have they been the 2 seed every time?
Every time they've been the 2 seed, outside of the wild card year where they go to Houston. But after that, it's 2 seed, 2 seed, 2 seed.
Yeah, I know. They certainly were last year.
They were not the 2 seed when they went to the AFC Championship game because Kansas City was the 2 and Tennessee was the 1.
Okay, so in the 21 season,
they were the 3 seed.
Yeah,
okay.
And the Titans were the 1 seed, the Chiefs were the 2 seed.
That's how, if they had won 13 seconds, they would have hosted the championship game because Cincinnati had already knocked out Tennessee. There you go.
Yeah, but all these other years they were the 2.
But that run by Cincinnati right there, that's what the Bills have not put together yet. Cincinnati is a wild card team that year.
No, the four.
Okay, the 4 that wins at Tennessee.
They won their first game at home against the Raiders.
That's right. They are the 4, and they beat the one seed on the road, and then they went to Kansas City and won, and they made a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And last year, Kansas City did that as a team that had to go on the road in the divisional round and then to the Ravens for the AFC Championship game, and they make a Super Bowl. So it's not like it's always been one seed, one seed, one seed. In fact, both of your main competitors to make Super Bowls, if you want to include those as as Cincinnati and Kansas City, they've both done the job that you've not been able to do, which is get there without the one seed.
Right.
And here are the Bills again. If they get there, they'll have to do it without the one seed.
Yeah. Well, and that is, I mean, it's not going to happen this year. It's the one thing they have not, unless you want to count MVP for this. It's, I know, individual, but the one thing they have not been able to accomplish in a regular season. They are over like a 5-year span, isn't it? Like best record or second to Kansas City, best point differential, best everything.
It's like the best record in the NFL without winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah. But
over 5 years.
They just have what? One or two missteps a year, games they probably shouldn't lose that they do, and then that's why Kansas City's above them. Because the one seed, like, it can be really meaningful when it comes to, like, why have the Bills only been in one AFC championship game? What is it for Kansas City? 6 in a row that they've been to? Mm-hmm. And they've hosted 5 of them? Why has that happened? Because I got the playoffs open from 2 years ago. What do the Bills have to do to get to the AFC championship game? They got to beat Miami, and then they got to beat Cincinnati in the second round. What did Kansas City have to do? Just beat Jacksonville. That's it. You want to make the AFC championship game as the one seed? Just beat Jacksonville. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
One thing against the team that you would no one would say is as good as Cincinnati.
There's a year in there where they just had to beat Cleveland.
Okay, right. Last year, what was Baltimore's as the one seed? What's your benefit? How do you get the AFC championship game? Oh, just beat Houston.
Yeah.
That's it. Just beat Houston, a rookie quarterback, and you're in. Versus the Bills who had to go through, had to beat Pittsburgh, and then had to beat the Chiefs to get to there. So, like, there's a matchup benefit, usually, not always, but usually for this as well, which is probably going to happen again this year. Like, Kansas City, I expect them easily to be in the AFC championship game right now because they're going to have to only beat probably like Pittsburgh or Houston.
Yeah, just not Baltimore.
That's it. And could you imagine, I mean, if the Bills get really unlucky, if they got to go through the Bengals and the Ravens to get to the same place that Kansas City just has to beat Pittsburgh or Houston. That's huge value for that two-game difference. That Ram game suddenly is massive that you drop. That Houston game is suddenly massive that you drop because, again, it could be the difference between Bengals and Ravens or just the Steelers or Texans.
Is this an inconvenient point or an inconvenient time to bring up the concept that this is why I would never trade with them to help them? This is why. Regardless of what Xavier Worthy did, you're not just chasing them in the postseason. It's not just about the time you play them. It's they play 17 games, and one of these years, you'd like to be the team that finishes with the top spot, and anytime you help them, sure, you help yourself, but, you know, make a trade with somebody else. Like, I was thinking about this for this week's game. Like, it's the Bills and the Patriots. And if the Patriots lose and the Bills do the job and Trubisky throws for 304 touchdowns, you know, the Bills in that scenario are feeling good, but also doing the Patriots a favor. But that's not exactly the kind of thing I feel like I could stop. I don't have a choice there. I'm playing a football game. You're laying out Kansas City getting the one seed. Do they get it without that receiver? Maybe not. They won games by single digits, and he scored touchdowns, and he's a part of their. He's not a game breaker, but he's
been their best wide receiver for.
But the margins,
since like week 8 or 9.
The margins for the Chiefs have been slim, and now they're kind of, you know, getting better. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
No. I don't think the Bills accurately represented the value of making it harder on Kansas City.
Like, yeah,
you don't. Part of my thought always on that was you don't know, like that's the unknown. You don't know that they're going to get the guy they want if you don't trade with them. You are guaranteeing them if you do.
Yeah,
and I want to make things harder on them because that's the team. That's the team to beat. And also, of course, I mean, they're really into the weeds. Remember that, like, they didn't even do well value-wise, right? Like, they got market value. They didn't make the Chiefs pay a premium.
Right. They didn't add another pick. They just they did a swap in two different rounds.
Right. But. Like take the results out of it. Because the results right now, again, are not like
they're fine.
They're insane. They're not insane, I should say. But he's a very good player, and like I would be worried about playing him in the playoffs. And also, man, I want the Bills to eventually be a team that could take a guy like that. And like he's a little bit of if Joe Brady's your chef, give him a little bit of cayenne pepper, which is what like an Xavier Worthy type of player is. And the Bills just, I don't know, never showed an appetite for a guy like that.
803-0550, our number. Speaking of Brady, this is one thing I want to get to today. You can give us a call on this, you know, kicking around the playoff matchups and the end of the regular season. What is the thing that went best for the Bills this year? Like, what the successes? What are the successes that if it had been – like, this is the final Football Friday of the year, and we're talking about a game that doesn't matter because they've earned the right to just chill for the two seed. If you could go back to opening day, opening night, whatever, and say, hey – I want to let you know this is going to happen. What would it be? Like, this is your greatest success. And I'll give you my answer. I know like Josh MVP caliber season is an easy answer. Mm-hmm. And mine is an offshoot of that. Mine is that it couldn't really have gone much better for Joe Brady.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This Allen season comes because Joe Brady has been awesome, mostly awesome. I mean, you can't be happy with every single game and every single call and every single conversation about the offensive coordinator. There was the trick play in Baltimore.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
More. It felt like a low point. Yeah. There was the game in Houston where the passes at the end of the game and clock management and Josh going 9 for 30. Like, there was a low point. But other than that, it came together. And they are, for better or for worse, they are what they set out to be. And everybody eats team where you never know where the ball is going to really go and no one guy is going to get focused on more than anybody else. And they put up a bajillion points, most in franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback's going to win the MVP.
Most touchdowns, too,
probably.
Right, in franchise history?
Yeah. Of all the things that went well, what went better than Joe Brady and the job he's done? I mean, is Joe Brady's approval ranking higher than Ken Dorsey's ever was? I would say yes.
Oh, easily.
Is it higher than Brian Daboll's was? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe not because Daboll did it for like 3 years.
But Daboll would have games where they wouldn't run the ball and people would get mad. And Brady, he doesn't really have scripts where people get upset. It's just kind of, I guess the only thing you'd have against Brady is sometimes there are slow starts.
Right.
Slow starts, they get out to a slow start, they get behind against New England, they get behind against Tennessee. And sometimes against some of these, you know,
I got these
teams below them, they're slow starters, but they get over it.
Yeah, I got these really little nitpicky complaints like they run on second and one all the time.
Me too.
But that's a little – if that's your biggest problem, I feel like that's a little thing.
We'll see. In the playoffs, we might find something. But, man, it's just – it's gone great. If you could go back to training camp as a time traveler and say, hey, Joe Brady's going to pretty much do the thing. Like, oh, sweet.
Yeah, I don't think they're I don't think there can be an answer that beats that other than, like – I think it has to be like I could go point to Shakir, right? Like Shakir having the season he did is a massive plus from where we were at the beginning of the year, not knowing what maybe he would be as more of a focal point.
Are all the answers
on
offense?
A lot of his success, I feel like, is attributed to scheming and the play designing and Brady getting him the ball at the line of scrimmage, because that's Brady. Allen doesn't do much work on that, right? Like, that's just Allen just throws the ball 4 yards to the left to the guy who's standing there waiting for the screen pass. Like, that's a Brady Shakir play that has worked all year long. So, like, Shakir's an answer, but, like, I think it's got to be Joe Brady. 100%. Like, the only thing maybe that he doesn't have that Dable did, again, was like the longevity of doing it. And two, Dable had the extra layer of developing Allen while he was building the offense. And Brady has a finished product quarterback already under center. So, not take credit away from him.
No, that's a big distinction. That's right.
But, like, yeah, I think in terms of him as a play caller, like, he has reached where we were with Dable.
Yeah. Pretty much everything the Bills have wanted to do on offense has worked. I mean, Curtis Samuel maybe hasn't blossomed like you thought he would.
He's ninth in the team in receiving yards. Yeah, like, I think if I told you that before the year, you'd probably think something bad happened.
Yeah, you did put a side bet that he would lead the league in receiving, right?
Gotta bring that up.
I mean, yeah, I'm just, no, you know,
I did.
You took a flyer, and he's ninth on the Bills.
He's got 200. Yeah, he's got 200 yards.
That's okay. I respect it.
He's got fewer yards than Ty Johnson. I didn't have that happen.
No, me neither. Ty Johnson, another thing that worked. The running back situation, the way they use them and deploy them, that has worked.
You know, it is – nothing really has smashed, though. That's kind of why it's maybe more impressive on Brady's part, is that – that would be my biggest surprise, is they have made it work without anybody going nuts. Like, Shakir, kind of, but Coleman, it's modest. You know, it's fine. It's pretty good. Kincaid, I would say it's well below expectation on what you hoped from him. Like,
way below.
Well below.
Yep.
And Cooper's, you know, deserves to be mentioned here too, because Cooper's given them a lot and only, or a good amount, only in half a season. But I the you're threading a needle, I think, when you play it that way, where you don't have one or two guys popping off, smashing successes this year. So if you don't get that, you're gonna need six guys to all be really good for you. And luckily, I think they have had six, seven guys that have all been good for them, down to, again, Ty Johnson, James Cook in the past game. Cook's only really had one of those bad drops all year. He had one really bad one early in the season, and that's kind of it since then. So, yeah, it's got to be Joe Brady. And I hope he doesn't get a head coaching job now. I'm back in the fear bunker I would have been with Dable when it was just waiting for him to go somewhere else.
And he went to the Giants.
Look, there's no way to me Brady's not, at this rate, maybe not this cycle, but in the next year and a half, next two cycles, like, they're going to have to be replacing him.
You would think so. Dable went to the Giants with Daniel Jones, which is about as, like, if you had a fear bunker, I mean, you wouldn't have had to be in it very long. You might still think he's a good coach, but the situation did not exactly pan out for him.
Yeah, that's right.
Whereas Brady, I've already seen speculation. We talked to Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com yesterday. He feels like Zach Taylor is very safe. I've seen Brady to the Bengals. I've seen Brady to, who's another
New
team
Orleans.
Here? New Orleans. That's right. The connection's made there because of LSU.
Maybe Chicago.
Yeah, there's another team that I feel like we forget to mention
the
sometimes.
The New York Football Jets.
No, that wasn't it either.
Giants, maybe they go back-to-back Bills OCs.
Somebody that was scary. Somebody that was, uh-oh, you don't want that to happen. But I don't remember who it was.
Scary. Oh, I know who it is.
Who is it?
New England.
Yes, that might have been it. Maybe.
You don't want him with Drake May.
No, probably not. I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't work the same. You know, like, the thing about Brady's offense, he has shown that, and the story through training camp was, he doesn't really need to tell you what kind of receivers he needs. He'll just make it work. And I thought, that's terrible. And here it is. It's worked. So, like, I was a little nervous. What do you mean you don't care which types of receivers you get? Anyway, 803-0550. Looking back on the regular season, what's the biggest success the Bills have had? And if we want to do letdown, there have not been that many big ones. I mean, they've won 13 games, but maybe we'll kick that around next segment. The biggest letdown, the biggest thing we thought was coming that didn't. 803-0550, Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe, Football Friday. You can give us a call and hang out. It is Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Thompson, far circle. Stick handling his way to the goal line. In front, scores! Zucker with the deflection on a great feed from Tage Thompson. And Jason Zucker is in beast mode right now for Buffalo.
One of the moments of the game, for all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth Jewelers. Sabres fall to the Avalanche, 6-5. Happy Football Friday, Jeremy and Joe. January 3rd, Drake May and the Patriots, right? May is going to play. Joe Milton says he says he's ready to play, Joe Milton, if called upon. And yesterday you had a pretty funny idea. Like, what's the funniest way New England could intentionally lose this game?
Oh.
Kneel it in the end zone.
Kneel it in your own end zone. Up one to lose the game on purpose.
Yeah,
there's and a watch the football world burn to the ground the next day.
And what would happen? If they
would change the rule the next day.
They'd make a lottery
the next
day?
They would create a lottery the next day, right?
I don't know. I always felt like they should have a lottery the entire time because they could put it on television.
Would they take their first-round pick? Like, there'd have to be some reaction.
No way. Robert Kraft's trying to get into the Hall of Fame. They're actually going to strip a guy of a first-round pick, the first overall pick. Like they might fine him $50,000.
They were willing to strip him of the first-round pick when he was, like, 28th.
Right. 803-0550. We're looking back on the regular season. It's Football Friday. What's the thing that's gone the best? Or what, if you want to make that a big surprise, or the thing you're happiest about, and then what's the letdown that hasn't come to fruition yet? You know, any way you want to phrase that, you can join us. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll get you some of the answers we've got here as I've tweeted that out. For me, quickly on the letdown, it's the defense. It's the pass defense more than anything. I'm not really worried about the run defense as the problem or a problem. It might rear its head in the postseason. I mean, third down defense is a thing you'd key in on. But the pass defense is just, they get beat in ways they rarely do in a Sean McDermott defense. And whether that's the year in transition or whatever it is, like if I punch it in at Ben Baldwin's site about rushing and pass defense, like where they rank. They are a below-average pass defense in drop-back EPA allowed and EPA per play allowed. Like the pass defense is not great.
Yeah.
And that's something that you don't often get going into a regular season. I'm sorry, going into a postseason and being able to say, well, let's see if they can win in spite of their pass defense. They're going to start playing better teams, better quarterbacks. And last year, it's above average. The year before, it's above average. Like, over the course of 5-6 seasons, they've been the best against the pass, and they are not close to that right now. So that's the letdown. We'll see if that's any different come the postseason.
Which is weird because I would want to say the best. Like, what's gone the best on defense? Wouldn't you say the safeties? Not to say they are incredible, but maybe that's more because of what expectation was.
I guess.
And the huge question of what they were going to be back there. And just the fact that it's okay to pretty good even feels like a big win. But maybe it's not. Because if the results are the pass defense is... I really do wonder, though, like that split. Because Hamlin and Rapp together, I mean, they have not been together for... Like, when's the last time? Was it the Ram game? Was it before that? They were last together. Like, it's been a lot of Bishop lately. You got Cam Lewis starting a few games in the midst there. So I wonder what that would look like when those two are on the field together versus without.
Yeah.
The Houston game early in the year.
They had seasons where Hyde was hurt or Poyer was hurt, and they were above average from a pass defense standpoint, and this year it's just not there. So as much as you want to say that the safeties, you know, you might feel like they've been fine because – they're not getting hit over the top all that often, although that has happened more than it normally does.
Yeah.
The numbers of just how good the pass defense is, maybe this is about the defensive line. You know, you can make it about a bunch of different things. But to me, that's it. I go into every year expecting the pass defense to be top 10, to be above average, and this year it's not been that. We'll get some phone calls in and check out some tweets as well on this. Maureen in Lancaster is first up. Good morning, Maureen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm dealing with that damn norovirus, and so I've been listening to a lot of the out-of-town stuff going on, and I think the best thing that has happened for Buffalo is that we didn't collapse because Diggs left. Everybody predicted Buffalo just was going to – we were going to be third in our division, according to the big boys on the major networks, and that didn't happen. And I think the best thing that we have going for us is the stability of our franchise. The coach, the general manager, the owner doesn't interfere. The owner doesn't interfere. He supports the people that he's hired. And I think there isn't that tension in the building that possibly was there before with Diggs, seemingly. And I think that the idea that where it sounded funny, everybody eats, has actually really worked well for this team. Mac Collins has had probably the best career year in terms of touchdowns, things like that. And I think there's a lot of good feeling in the locker room. I don't think people are hanging their heads when something goes wrong. I think they come back out and they you know, when they talk about making adjustments, it's at the halftime. I think they do that. I've been watching football for a long time, but I'm not good at examining all this stuff. But I really think this team has so much going for it, and it starts with the character of the people they bring in, both at all levels. And I wouldn't be in a hurry to take a coaching job at some of these places that are going to open up. Boston's going nuts. You know, they're talking about trading away their last year's first or third. I guess Drake May was third, but they're talking about trading him away to get the first this year, and also losing this week and firing Van Pelt. I mean, the conversation, it sounds like a bunch of drunken sailors. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, well, one thing about... Thanks, Maureen. Thanks for the phone call, and a happy new year. One thing about the whole, like, the Bills seem looser, happier, all that, that probably came with the idea that expectations had dropped. Mm-hmm. Fair? Like... You want to say that I remember this year in training camp, a couple of the Bills saying they're having the most fun they'd ever had. And that might really have been because, you know, whether this is about the receiver, 14, or if it's about Hyde, Poyer, Davis, Mitch Morse, emotional baggage. Bean used the phrase that when you get guys, new guys in, when did he say this? Months ago. The idea that you have fresh faces, these guys don't have all the losses to the Chiefs. They weren't here for 13 seconds. It's just a fresh group, a bunch of fresh faces. And that's all well and good. The pressure goes right back up in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's the playoffs, and then if they were to lose to Denver or Baltimore, then everything's back.
I want to say
everything is snapped immediately back to where it was. And next season will be about pressure again, because you'll have won the division. It will not be thought of as a year in transition. The Jets will be down, the Dolphins, the Patriots. You're right back to big time favorite to win the division, and how come you're not making it any farther? So they've had a nice little break here from expectation that lasted a couple of months and lasted maybe in a mini camp and a training camp and an off season and a preseason. And then they had a season that did not have a bunch of adversity, if I may. I mean, is that fair?
Yeah.
They lost two games early and then went on a huge win streak and lost a goofy game to the Rams and won them all since then. So I feel like they've been able to get away from they haven't had a ton of pressure yet. And that changes in, like, you know, 72 hours. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond to that and if they win the whole thing or if they – you know, suffer the kind of loss that snaps everybody right back to, why are we stuck here? 803-0550. Thanks, Maureen, for the phone call. And I think a lot of what you said, like, does come down to, like, it's all interconnected, of course. Mac Collins, you brought him up, or, like, Brady is just so key to that, because vibes are good when the offense is humming, and this offense has had a great year. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. It is Football Friday. We'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Notre Dame wins, beats Georgia. The Final Four in college football, I mean, would you draw up a better one? The Blue Bloods? It's pretty good.
Yeah. There's no Cinderella, though.
No, I wouldn't have expected there to be one, though. Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Yeah. What's the best final?
Ohio State, Notre Dame.
Easily?
Yeah. I want to say Ohio State, Notre Dame would set college football viewing records. Possibly.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be right, but...
The championship will fall on a Monday?
Usually does.
Okay. Are they going to be competing with a playoff football game, though, now? Because they got pushed into the NFL playoffs?
That's one thing I was thinking about for the Bills opener. There's a possibility it could be on a Monday night, because there's Monday night football for the playoffs now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there is in the wild card round. Maybe the college football playoff would be the weekend after the divisional round then. So maybe they wouldn't be competing.
Yeah.
They probably wouldn't want to be competing either side.
803-0550, our number. 1-888-550-2550. We do have to get Josh's review of Holiday Touchdown.
We do.
The Chiefs' holiday movie that he was forced to watch.
And he seems excited to talk about it, which makes me think...
I'm excited to let everyone know that you just don't have to waste your time watching
it. Okay, so it's like the worst movie of all time then, is my guess?
Yes.
And we're getting close to that?
It was bad.
Okay.
I have instant trivia. Do we have 1 minute? We have 1 minute for instant trivia.
I've got 1 minute to do this?
You've got 1 minute.
All right.
And you will not get this correct, but I want to do it anyway. Garrett Wilson, 3 1,000-yard seasons with the Jets.
Yeah.
He's very good.
Yeah, he's great.
He has caught passes or played with 8 different quarterbacks in his first 3 seasons.
Oh, my gosh. Rodgers, Tim Boyle, Zach Wilson, Sam Darnold.
Nope.
No, not Darnold. Zach Wilson and...
Tyrod, yep.
That's only 4?
Yep.
Jeez.
There's a name on here.
Tim Boyle.
I said Tim Boyle.
There's a name that is more obscure than your Tim Boyles. You can't even believe it's real.
I know the guy. I know it. He had a arm sleeve tattoo. Strelever? Chris Strelever?
Sorry, it's not Strelever.
What is it?
Streveler?
Oh.
Chris Streveler.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Played quarterback for the Jets with Garrett Wilson.
Pretty close. Did Josh McCown make it that far?
No. Looking at Mike White, Joe Flacco, Trevor Siemian. Those are the 8 quarterbacks for Garrett Wilson. 3 years, 3,200 yards.
Someone save him.
Yeah, right. All right, Sal Capaccio joins us when we get back. We prep for Bills and Patriots. We'll ask him the biggest success for the Bills this regular season. As we kind of look back on the regular season, what went right, what's still not there for them? And, you know, of course, how that affects the postseason remains to be seen. So Sal's coming up. You can pop on and grab a phone line if you'd like to, 803-0550 on WGR.